Many people are giving generously of their time and abilities to serve the church, but there is still more to be done. So this morning, I want to encourage all of us to move forward in ministry for the glory of the Lord and volunteer service so that God may be glorified and Jesus may be known more and more in our church and throughout this land. The author of Hebrews put it this way in chapter 10, verses 23 to 25. He said, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Before we talk about serving in the church, though, that's going to be our topic today is service. But before we do that, let's just take a moment to remember, briefly review, the reasons why we serve the Lord. In Romans chapter 1, verse 17, Paul declared the theme of his letter to the Romans, and he said, "For in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." Now here the focus is on righteousness from God received by faith. This gift of mercy is made possible through God's grace and mercy given at the cross of Christ, through Jesus' death on the cross. We freely receive salvation and forgiveness of sins. Romans chapter 3, verses 22 to 24 explain it this way. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ. All who believe, there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption of that came by Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. We are all sinners. We fall short. We're unable to save ourselves from the death that sin brings. But God has provided salvation, eternal life for us through the work of Jesus Christ. And when we place our faith in Jesus, then we have peace with the Creator God who made us and who made the entire universe and everything in it. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, he says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Wow. That's wonderful. We have peace with the Creator God who made the heavens and the earth through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul makes sure that we understand this peace is received through faith in Jesus and not by works. He says in chapter 10, verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So what am I trying to get across here? I'm trying to get across here, before we start really talking about service, that our service is motivated by what God has already done in pouring out his love for us and providing for our salvation. We don't serve to try to get something from God. We serve in thankfulness and gratitude because of what God has already done. Now, in Romans, in the first 11 chapters of Romans, Paul, you know, he taught all the great doctrines of the church, of the Christian faith, about how to have a relationship with Jesus. Spent 11 chapters teaching lots and lots of doctrine, good things. But I don't think Paul's objective was to make us experts in doctrine. You know, Paul provides a huge amount of information, but his objective is not to fill our heads with knowledge so we can be experts in doctrine. No, that's not what Paul's doing. You see, rather, I think Paul is striving to motivate us to commitment and action for the kingdom of God. So today, together with Paul, I want to challenge all of us to renew our commitment to loving service in the name of Jesus. Let's listen to what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. It's right after 11 chapters of doctrine. Paul then says, Romans chapter 12, where he's really going with all of that. Pointing back to those 11 chapters, Paul says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Amen. Amen. So in that first verse, Romans 12, 1, Paul was writing, he says, therefore, pointing back to all that's come in those first 11 chapters, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. So first, we notice the word therefore, pointing back to what he's been teaching, and now he's announcing a conclusion that flows from all of that teaching. What has he been teaching? What did Paul emphasize in those 11 chapters? Well, there's a lot of things, but here he says, in view of God's mercy. So I think he's especially referring to the teaching of the mercy and grace given through Christ Jesus. When we trust in him, when we believe in Jesus, we receive his mercy and grace. Amen. Now, from this transitional verse, we see that all along Paul's objective was to fill our hearts with thankfulness for God's love and to move us to action in the name of Christ. Paul does not command us to become living sacrifices. He urges us to be living sacrifices. Once again, our salvation is not dependent on works, but still there are great benefits and many good reasons to serve God. And so Paul says, offer your bodies. Now we should offer our whole selves to the Lord, to God's service. But Paul specifically mentions our bodies, perhaps because active ministry requires the use of our bodies. And some of you might be like me, you might say, bodies? Who'd want this old thing? It's getting all worn out. But we're able to serve in concrete and practical ways through the use of our bodies. As an appropriate response to God's great mercy and love, Paul urges us to worship God. It's a spiritual act of worship to offer our bodies as living sacrifices for his glory. Now, I think the idea of a living sacrifice must have seemed very strange to the Jewish people of Paul's time. You know, they were used to offering sacrifices on the altar at the temple. They were used to these sacrifices of burnt offerings and things where, you know, you have a lamb or a goat or a bull, and you slay it and you offer it in fire on the altar. But those were dead sacrifices, not living sacrifice. Now, Paul is talking about a new kind of sacrifice, a living sacrifice of Christians offering their lives to God daily and hourly, even minute by minute, as we go through the day. Jesus himself was the great example. His whole life was a living sacrifice. He came down from heaven and he was born into this world, and then all through his life he served others, taking care for them, loving them, showing them the love of God in all that he did. A living sacrifice. Even to the point of giving his life in the end as an offering on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. But even the cross, you know, at the cross we see death comes, but it's not an end. It's the entryway into the resurrection. He offers himself for our sins that we might have forgiveness of sins. But even as Jesus gives his life as a sin offering on the cross, it's a step toward the new life of resurrection. Jesus taught his disciples in Matthew chapter 10, verses 38 and 39, and he said, "And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." You know, this verse also brings the idea of a living sacrifice, because we offer our lives, we give ourselves as a living sacrifice, and we lose our life in one sense, and yet we find real life. Real life. Abundant and wonderful in Christ. You know, there's a prayer I've liked for a long time, and it's actually by St. Francis of Assisi. I can't help but think that maybe St. Francis was meditating on some of these same things when he wrote this prayer. St. Francis said, he prayed, "Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. And where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, it is in dying that we are born to eternal life." It's in dying to ourselves by giving ourselves as a living sacrifice that we're born to eternal life more and more day by day. If we live for God and for others, we die to self and we discover new life, a new life filled with joy and peace, a life wholly focused on pleasing God. By setting ourselves apart for service to God and by continually giving ourselves to his work and his purposes, we become living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. And all along in his letter to the Romans, you know, starting at chapter 1 all the way through, I think all along Paul had in mind the goal of bringing us to the point of making this decision. Paul, of course, wants us to be saved by the grace and mercy of Christ, given as a free gift. But Paul also wants much more. He wants to see us make a total commitment to God by offering ourselves as living sacrifices. Many of you have heard it before, so hang in there, but it's an old joke. An old joke, but it really makes a kind of a point, I think. A chicken and a pig are walking down the road when they see a sign that says the church is having a prayer breakfast. The chicken says, "Let's help the church out. I will offer some eggs and you can donate a ham." The pig says, "Wait a minute. For you, that's a contribution. But for me, that's a total commitment." Might seem a little scary. But Paul's asking us to do more than be a chicken and donate a few eggs. He's asking us to give the whole ham as living sacrifices. Many people contribute to the work of the ministry, like the chicken. A few eggs here, or like a cow, you know, a little bit of milk. But Paul, when we read about him, and as we continue our study in Acts next week, he says, Paul experienced the blessings that come from making a total commitment, sold out for Jesus, 100%, nothing held back. A commitment to serve God no matter what the cost. If you want to experience a relationship with God on a whole new level, the way to do that is to make a total commitment to Him. It's not a commitment leading to death, although we die to ourselves daily. It's a commitment that leads to new and abundant life. In John chapter 10, verse 10, the last part of the verse, Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Do you want to have abundant life? Abundant life is not found by holding back. Abundant life is not found by hesitating or going halfway. Abundant life is found in moving forward boldly, going forward in the name of Jesus and giving of ourselves as living sacrifices to God and to His work in this world. Jesus gave His life on the cross to pay the price for our sins and to offer the free gift of eternal life in heaven with Him. And we need to just humbly receive this gift from Christ, our Lord. But having received that gift of eternal life, how do we respond with what Jesus has done for us, you know? Do we just kind of lay back and say, "Oh, got that salvation here in my pocket, so when the time comes, I'm ready to say, yeah, I got the blood of Jesus and I'm okay"? Is that real faith? Is that really following the Lord? That's, you know, I don't know. It just doesn't seem like thankfulness. It doesn't seem like we care. Paul urges us to do something more. He urges us to respond by leaving behind all of our sins, changing our thinking, seeking after and obeying God's will in every way, and walking in humility and serving God. In verses 2 and 3 in chapter 12, back in Romans, Paul said, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you." The world tries to press us into its mold. The world asks us to conform to the way things are done. But there's another way. The people of the world will try to get you to do the same sinful things they do. They will say, "Everyone's doing it. A little bit doesn't matter. So what if it's a sin? You work so hard, you deserve a little pleasure." That's the way the world thinks. You know, the world is full of temptations, right? What does temptation look like? I brought a photograph. Here's temptation. Even if we have a good heart, and want to do right, we will face many temptations in this world. But if we trust in Jesus, if we're in Christ, we don't have to conform to the patterns of the world. We don't have to give in to the temptations of the world. We can choose another way. And, you know, we're all somewhere on the path. I'm not saying I'm done with this. It's a process, and the Lord's still working on me too. But we can be transformed into something beautiful as we walk with Jesus and move forward in His name. When our minds and our hearts are fixed on Christ, we will know His will and we'll learn to walk in His ways for His glory. Now, each of us is a unique individual. Do you ever realize that? You know, go home and look in the mirror. There's no one exactly like you. Each and every person is unique. Even if you're twins, you're not exactly like your twin. You might look like your twin, but I can guarantee you don't always act the same way as your twin. We're different people. Everyone is a unique individual, a special creation of God. We're all different, and that's okay. It's okay to be different. God made us that way. In verses 5 and the first part of 6, Paul teaches, "So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." We have different gifts according to the grace given us. I don't think that's amount of grace. It's different kinds of grace. By the grace of God, we have different gifts and roles, and that's a very good thing because together we become complete. We become the body of Christ in this world. Now, after this, Paul gives a list of spiritual gifts. And this list he gives here, it's not the only one in Scripture, but it's perhaps the most foundational list of spiritual gifts. And some people have called these the motivational gifts because they have as much to do with why we do things as with exactly what we do. They are heart gifts that get to the core of what motivates and inspires us as different individuals with different roles in the church. Paul has 7 gifts in verses 6 through 8. And with each gift, Paul urges those who have the gift to use it appropriately for God's glory. And the gifts mentioned are prophecy, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leadership, and mercy. I believe every Christian has at least one of these gifts and sometimes more. And if we make the commitment to serve and to use the gifts God has given us, then the church will grow and God will be glorified more and more, and the love of Jesus will spread to more and more people out across Osaka and beyond. People will know that Jesus loves them as we minister in the gifts. We should not hide, deny, or neglect our gifts. We should use our gifts for the strengthening of the church, for the glory of God. Now, if you make the commitment to know and use the spiritual gifts that God has given you, you will become fruitful in ministering in the name of Christ. You'll be fulfilled in your ministry as you see how God has used you to touch the lives of others. And in your role in the church, as well as your personal life, you find place and meaning ministering in the name of Christ. If we all use the gifts the Lord has given us, our church will be productive for the kingdom of God and for His glory in many ways. Amen. Amen. May I encourage you this morning? May I even urge you to know your spiritual gifts and to make the commitment to use them for the glory of God? Make a total commitment. A total commitment. And go forward to new levels in your relationship with God. We can and should serve the Lord all week long, at home, at the office, at school, wherever we may go. Serving and sharing the love of Jesus at home in the community is very important. But this morning, I'd like us to think about how especially we might be able to serve in the church ministry right here at OIC. What roles the Lord might have for us. And I know many of us are already serving in the church and in various ways, and we praise the Lord and we give thanks for that. But there may be some people who've sort of been hesitating or who may just not know how to get started. Who want to do something but just not sure how to get started. And to make it a little easier to get started, this morning we've placed a new volunteer registration form in the bulletin, and you can find in your bulletin a little form here. And just to make it a little easier for you to get started, sometimes people have the desire, but they just haven't managed to get started yet for one reason or another. And this is just a way to be a little easier to get going and to say, okay, here I am. I'm ready to serve. These are my gifts. This is my availability and my schedule. What can I do? What would I like to do? Now, I want to assure you that I know there are some people who, for whatever reason, may just not be ready to serve, and that's okay. We're not trying to push people into something they're not ready for, and yet we are trying to encourage people to move forward if they're ready. So you can fill this out today. You can put it in the offering basket, or you can give it to me or one of the church leaders after the service. Or if you need some time to pray about it, you know, take it home and pray about it for a week and fill it out, you know, in prayer and with a cup of coffee maybe. That's fine. It's good to pray first before deciding what to do. And see how you might be able to serve in the church. If you're not ready, please wait till you're ready. Just take it home and put it someplace and, okay, when I'm ready, you'll have it. But if you are ready, maybe it's time to stop procrastinating, to stop hesitating, and to move forward. The purpose is to make it easy for people who are ready to do something. It's not to pressure anyone. Let's close with a thought from one of Jesus' parables. Many of you know the parable of the talents, I'm sure. And in the parable, a wealthy man entrusted talents to each of his servants before he left on a journey. He went off on a long journey. And before he left, he went to his servants and he gave them each talents, or actually money, as he got ready to go. And Matthew chapter 25, verse 15, it said, to one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. Now, when the man returned, he required each of his servants to give an account of how they had invested the talents they received. You know, he wasn't just giving it away. He was entrusting it to them to use. Well, in this parable, it's talents of money, but our time, our finances also, our energy, our education, our spiritual gifts, our natural abilities, whatever we may have is like these talents. It's things, we don't have anything that was not given us from God. You know, all that we have is something that God gave us, either at birth or as we've grown in life and in faith. The man in the story is like our Lord Jesus. He came and he gave his life as an offering for sin. And he rose from the dead, and then he went back to heaven. He's here through his spirit, but in his body, he went back to heaven to be with the Father. Like the man who went away on a long journey, But he will come again, and he will come again to judge all things. And when Jesus comes, he also will ask us to give an account of how we have used the things that he left with us, that he gave us. And like the servants in the parable who invested wisely, we also will be rewarded if we have wisely invested the things we have received for the glory of God. On the day when Jesus returns, I'm sure that we all want to hear from our Lord the same thing that the faithful servants in the parable heard from their master. Matthew 25, verse 21. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, gracious and loving Lord, thank you for the wonders of the grace of Christ, your mercy poured out at the cross, the free gift of forgiveness of sins and eternal life. I thank you also that you've given us the privilege of serving in your kingdom, of working for your glory, of expressing thankfulness through our service to you. Help us, Lord, to clearly see what you have done for us through the cross and resurrection of Christ. And help us to respond with thankfulness, to be willing to give of ourselves, not just halfway, but in a total commitment for Jesus, sold out for Jesus and his glory, serving him hourly and daily, week by week and month by month. And I pray that each of us would truly taste and experience that abundant life, the joy and peace of living in Christ and walking with him. Lord, come and pour your Spirit out upon your people, that each of us might be filled with your Spirit, that we might have the fruits of the Spirit in our lives, gifts of ministry for serving you. Help us to recognize the gifts you've given us and to use them for your glory. Lord, we know there are also many who are hurting, suffering, lonely, tired, sick, maybe out of work. You know each and every need, Lord. Come and meet the needs of each one out of the riches of your grace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.